Welcome to Head Games on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline USA. We're very lucky to have somebody that not only has been a leader on the field, but is continuing to be a leader off the field, particularly with women's sports athletes' rights. And Julie Fowler, we enjoyed having you on last time, and we're equally excited to have you on today. How are you?
Great. How's it going, Nick?
It's going great. You know, this since you were on last, this show has gone from having one to two national figures every week to one to two every day, and today is no exception. We'll go to Len Dawson and Sam Huff, two old NFL Hall of Famers, in the last half of the show. But let's get straight to this, because I'd like to know, we know you're an educated young lady, but how did you arise to the level of the head of policy for the Women's Sports Foundation? And what is that job, as you would articulate it?
Well, I have a long history with the Women's Sports Foundation, because when I was just coming out of college, Reebok was a sponsor. Just as I finished college, Reebok signed me up, and they were a partner with the Women's Sports Foundation, and said, you know, I'd love you to meet this group, and they have an annual fundraiser in New York, and Billie Jean King is the founder, and so forth. And so back in about 1993-94, I got to know them, and it turned out to be a wonderful relationship, because at the time, U.S. soccer and our women's national team was going through some contract issues and battles, and the Women's Sports Foundation ended up being my soundboard, and Billie Jean King in particular, for a lot of these issues, which is, we can get into later, which is kind of the foundation for this athletes' rights document. But so when I was sitting at a board meeting last year, I was on the board for and a past president, I said, you know, we need to do more with public policy, and we're always reacting to things. We need to be more active about some of these issues and advocacy issues. And they said, perfect, you do it. And I said, no. That's not what I'm advocating, actually.
But they did make you do it. We're going to have to go to a break. Yeah. When we come back, I'm just going to quote you as saying, although this question and answer could not replace Billie Jean King and the Women's Sports Foundation, by creating this document, we can share the wisdom and insights we have learned to give others the courage and the knowledge to move forward. We're talking with Julie Fowler about women's sports rights, about athletes' rights in general. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
George Rosa III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosa III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information. So register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
You know, Julie Fowdy, I bet you that 25, 30 years ago, what Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame football coach and now general manager for the Buffalo Bills, just said could have been an accurate statement of women's sports, and that I think women had not proven that they could stand up and be organized the way they have today. What do you think about that?
What, say that again? What did he say?
When Marv Levy said, you know, what do you think I'm going to do, just lie in a fetal position and whimper, when I look at this rights, this declaration of rights, this explanation that you have put together, I think of the quantum leap from a generation ago where you could have said women's sports did have to get in the fetal position, that they did not have a sense of continuity, a sense of cohesion, a sense of strength that they do today.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's basically why for years we've wanted to write this athletes' rights document, because you know, for so long you felt like you were alone, and it was this epiphany when I realized, you know, we played on the national team, that group of us, for 17 years, and so we were lucky in a sense that we didn't have a high rate of turnover, and so we understood the history and the progression. But you never realized what others had gone through before you, and sitting with Billie Jean King for the first time and hearing about what she did in tennis and their round table of eight and the $1 contracts, and all these athletes are going through the same things, but they're isolated in a sense in that we weren't as organized together, and we didn't know what the others were going through. And so, you know, I sat with Billie for a long time and talked about, you know, what they went through with tennis and how could we improve our sport, and you know, on and off the field. And and, you know, I just realized a lot of people don't have that access. They don't have that knowledge base or a mentor to go to and tell them about all the past mistakes they made and don't make them again. So that's kind of the basis behind this athletes' rights document, because you're always hearing, you know, athletes, female athletes from other sports saying, you know, I'm tired of this, and this is what's happening to us, and how can we change these things? And they're all the same theme. So we just decided, gosh, why can't we put something in writing that at least gives them some knowledge and some perspective?
Well, let's look at this table of contents, first of all, because it is a rather significant document, and the important governance documents such as what is the Ted Stevens Olympic and Amateur Sports Act, why are the bylaws of the United States Olympic Committee important, and then you skip down to number six, does any law protect athletes who experience discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, religion, age, national origin, or disability? Why don't we just, since we only have 10 minutes, let's go into this. What do we have in this document that in particular you want people to know about?
Well, it's a good primer for background. Like, one of the things we found out is athletes just don't know. They don't understand what their rights are. So it gives a lot of detailed information on the Ted Stevens Amateur Sports Act, and which is basically the law that established all these NGBs, national governing bodies that oversee all these sports. And it talks about there's no real document that addresses our athletes' rights. This is the one that comes closest to that. So it talks about how it protects athletes from discrimination and a variety of different issues. And all of these are themes that athletes deal with over the years competing. They just never knew they had a process to use to fight it or to say, you know, this isn't right, this isn't fair, this isn't equitable, or this isn't what we visioned as a group, as a team. So it covers, you know, from, you know, what's my rights in terms of marketing, what's my rights in terms of how they can use my name and likeness, to, you know, can they discriminate on the basis of pregnancy? Can they discriminate on the basis of color? I mean, there's just, and it's great in that team selection, eligibility for competition. It touches on a lot of these different areas and gives them a resource to further educate themselves. I've always been a big believer, and this is one of the things we learn with the national team. And again, I think having played together for so many years, it helped because we had this continuity, but is that we had to go in and understand it and learn it and really talk to a lot of different lawyers and talk to a lot of different people like Billie Jean King and pioneers before us. And then we could say, okay, what do we want for the next generation? How do we want to make it better? And what are our options? And so this helps in terms of telling athletes what some of their options are. Nick, you there?
Welcome back. We apologize for a little disconnect there, but we're not disconnected from the important themes. In fact, Julie, I thought that dispute resolution and grievances are really important. When I remember the importance of labor rights that the NFL Players Association accomplished, one was, and you see it and read about it almost every week or two in the NFL, a player is cut while he's still injured. A player is injured in a way that will impact his or her career for the rest of their lives, and yet there, until 20 years ago, there really was not a lot of opportunity to protect their rights.
Right.
What is available today?
Well, it's interesting because that's a big topic in this this athlete's rights document is, you know, what is the process for those type? If those types of things happen to you, what is available to you? And most of those things have been resolved through an arbitration process just because it's timely and it's speedy, and instead of these athletes having to wait through a judicial process that may take, you know, months or even a year to be resolved, and then they lose their opportunity to compete in that competition. They've done, you know, many things through an arbitration process, which is interesting because then things aren't documented. They're not required to have a case book and a history. And so it's really hard then to kind of gather all these, the history together and say, okay, you know, when in this instance, these 10 things happened to these 10 different people in these 10 different arbitration cases because they've never been documented. And that's another thing we're trying to do is trying to build some type of history so athletes can say, okay, I can read about it because I can see what's happened to the softball team. I can see what's happened in track and field or whatever sport. But arbitration is basically the way that most go through this right now with athletes.
Given that we only have a couple minutes here, let's make sure that we know how to get in touch with you, with the Women's Sports Foundation, how people that want to learn more about this, whether it's leagues at the professional level or whether it's even parents that want to make sure that their kids are protected as well.
Right. They can go on to the Women's Sports Foundation website, which is womensportsfoundation.org, and the athletes' rights document is right on the front there under foundation updates. And they can read more about it there, and it also tells them how to get in touch with the Women's Sports Foundation. There's a whole advocacy department at the Women's Sports Foundation that can advocate on their behalf. And, you know, we've also contended that this isn't just for elite athletes at the national team level, that national governing bodies also have to protect at the grassroots level, because if a child's being discriminated at the grassroots level, then the likelihood of them being able to make it to a national team or to an Olympics is obviously diminished. So
we're talking with Julie Fowley, and Julie, can you promise to come on in a few weeks and we'll go into some more depth about this? It's too important to cover in just 15 minutes.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. Thank you for doing this, though. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and, you know, I love the fact that you're just one more example of athletes that have become leaders, not just on the field, but off the field, not just for the money, not just for the professional end, but for athletes that are growing up into a whole brave new world, if you will, of performance and competition. Thanks again.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Julie. When we come back, it's our usual Monday morning quarterback with legendary Len Dawson, formerly for 24 years, the host of Inside the NFL on HBO, and we'll be joined in our last segment by the very shy Sam Huff to talk about the Redskins, Tampa Bay, the Giants Monday night game, and more. It's all on Head Games Radio. You're listening to the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome to Monday Morning Quarterback on Head Games with the legendary one, the man that would matriculate the ball down the field, Leonard Dawson. How are you?
I'm fine, Nick, and I want to know who those two or three jerks are that I keep hearing every week. 95 guys, two jerks, they get 97% of the attention.
hey, listen, come on.
Isn't that
now?
The
I mean,
truth?
One of them. Well, one of them I think is a pretty good guy. He's caught 450 yards or something the last 2 weeks, Ocho Cinco, and I don't think he's a jerk, but he's definitely getting the attention now.
Yeah, that's right. Just get a lot of yards doesn't give you victories, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. In this case, it gave Cincinnati a victory, but then again, you've got Trent Green coming back with, what, 102 yards passing. And yet they found a way to get, you know, it done in the last few minutes.
Well, the game plan was he hadn't played in, about 2 months. And so they thought he'd be a little rusty. And I knew that they'd have a safe pass the first one he threw, and it was. It was a quick screen to the flanker that was about 1 yard pass, and just to get him going. But he only threw the ball 4 times in the first half. What happened was they got the ball. When the first time they got the ball, they're marching down the field. They had a drive, I think, of either 10 or 11 plays, and there was only one pass in that drive, and they scored a touchdown. And looked like this is going to be it, the heavy dose of Larry Johnson. And why not when you got a makeshift offensive line? They had different people out there. They had Kyle Turley, who is a tackle. He played tackle sometimes, but they had a formation where he was the tight end. And then the guy next to him was Jason Dunn. Now, you got two tackles. In fact, Jason Dunn, the tight end, is heavier than Kyle Turley. And the other team hadn't seen that formation, and they were able to capitalize on it with some good yardage during the football game. But it was one of those classic Raider-Chiefs games, as you're well aware of, that got down to the last quarter, the last drive, is who was going to win, who was going to lose. Kansas City was down, and they needed a score, and they got the score. And then here comes the Raiders back. And during that drive, though, Trent Green was a key to that particular successful drive. He hit Eddie Kennison on a beautiful pass. It was a post-flag move that he threw it over the defensive guy's head into the arms of Kennison before he got 2 feet inbounds and then out of bounds. And then he hit another wide receiver, Parker, on about a 15 or 16-yard curl pattern that got him down inside the 10-yard line, and then Larry Johnson took over. But it made it very exciting. And during that drive, Nick, and you can appreciate this because the Raiders are known for penalties and shooting themselves in the foot. Fourth down and a yard to go. Kansas City was down, so they went for it. And they made 2 yards, but in the process, one of those big defensive linemen grabbed the face mask of Larry Johnson. It was a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty that got Kansas City in great field position. And then at the end of the game, here comes the Raiders. They're inside the 10-yard line with 32 seconds to go. First down, and they tried to hit Randy Moss in the back of the end zone. Ill-advised throw by Brooks, the quarterback, and it was intercepted by a young rookie for Kansas City, Page. And that was the only turnover in the entire ball game. And when I look at all of these games that played on Sunday and Monday, and you look down at a couple of things, one is turnovers, and the other is penalties, and tells the story a lot about why a team won or why a team lost. So Kansas City is very lucky to get out with a win there, but it was a win.
Well, the bottom line is that as long as they have Larry Johnson in that backfield, and as long as that offensive line has come together the way it has the last 5-6 weeks, that the pressure on the quarterback's not the same. What do you think Damon Heward would have done in the same situation?
That's a very good question. He did an excellent job of helping Kansas City, but he was in the same situation the week before against Miami in Miami, and they were down. They needed 3 points to tie. A touchdown, of course, would put them ahead. Same scenario, and he wasn't able to get the job done. Trent Green was a little rusty early on until he got his touch and his feeling back. And throwing the football, I don't know what would have happened. You know, just you'd have to guess, I guess. But Trent Green is a guy who's been in this situation a lot of times. Damon Heward has not, and Trent Green knows the offense as well as anybody out there on that football team, and able to read defenses. And he did one heck of a job. Maybe Damon Heward would have done the same thing. I don't know, but I know that Trent Green at that time looked like the guy to be in there.
Well, you talked on an earlier show about the value of a Tony Gonzalez, which might have made it a little bit easier for Trent Green. Here's something you said a couple weeks ago.
The receiver who caught the ball in his hands as opposed to somebody letting the ball come to them in their arms or in their chest, Tony snatches it. And you know what he does? Because I think of his basketball background, and a rebounder, he snatches the ball away from those defenders. Yep.
That's something that you mentioned about 10 days ago. How long is Tony going to be out, and how big a loss is this for the Chiefs?
Well, how about the loss? How many times did they throw the ball to Jason Dunn, the tight end, yesterday? Zero. None. And how much of a loss is Gonzalez? It's a big loss because he's a factor you have to consider. If you're the other team defending Kansas City, you've got to be concerned about Tony Gonzalez. a lot of times they'll put a cornerback on him rather than a linebacker or a safety because they can cover a little better than a linebacker or a safety. And there is talk that he is going to be ready Thursday. Now, I don't know whether he will or not and how effective he will be, but there's talk that he will be ready. There's talk that Brian Waters, the offensive left guard who went out with a knee injury a couple of weeks ago, that he could be ready for this game. But, you know, there's only going to be one practice this week. They'll practice on Tuesday, really. They're in there today looking at the tapes of yesterday's game and going over some things. They'll probably do some lifting and running. And tomorrow they'll practice. Their game plan has already been in for Denver. And then on Wednesday, before the game, you're not going to practice much. I mean, a walkthrough perhaps, but it is a one-day practice for Kansas City. Also, it's the same situation for the Denver Broncos.
I would think it's a bigger advantage for the Chiefs, though, on a short week, an extra short week like this, to not have the travel day. I mean, it gives them a chance to maybe go through things a little bit more.
Absolutely. I always thought it was tough, you know, on a short week, if you have to go travel someplace, because that takes something out of you. Of course, when I played, there was prop jets, the prop planes in those days, and it wasn't the jets. It would take, you know, 6 hours to get to the West Coast, and now it's 3 hours. But I think Kansas City has an advantage in that respect. That doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to win the football game, because Denver's a good team, but it is an advantage.
Len Dawson, let's have some fun and talk about Air Marty. That game last night, another great game in Denver with San Diego and LaDainian Tomlinson, obviously incredibly productive as well. But what is going on with San Diego and Marty Schottenheimer that has led them to come back for the first time in NFL history, a team down by 17 points wins consecutive games?
On the road. You sure that's Marty out there? You know, we know him all too well. That's
I'm not
different.
Sure.
But he's got the tools. He's got the tools in the quarterback. He's doing an outstanding job this year for a guy that's playing for the first time. He's not a rookie, but playing for the first time. And it's always nice to have Tomlinson on that football team because he's on a roll, that guy. I think, what has he got now, 19 touchdowns? I think so.
He's
a lot of games left to go.
Record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's, you know, they're behind. They got to catch up. I'm surprised they get behind because their defense is supposed to be the strength of that football team. And I'm surprised they've been getting behind so quickly against Cincinnati last week and against Denver yesterday. But they are rolling. I see the thing is they believe in themselves now. They're never out of a football game. After you've done what they have done the last 2 weeks, they are never out of a football game in their minds because they have done it. And until you experience that type of success, you're not going to really be sure, but they're sure of themselves right now, and they're playing as well, I think, as anybody, particularly in the second half. If they could do the first half the way they do the second half the last couple of weeks, they'd be awesome.
And when Sean Merriman comes back, I think that's the idea, and to some degree, maybe that's the benefit. Once again, you know, the Chiefs now know what they have in their backup quarterback. They know what they can do without several of their starting offensive linemen. Willie Roaf never came back. Brian Waters has been out, and yet they're finding a way to get it done. What about that last drive, too? The Chargers go ahead. They're up by 8 points, and then Igor Oshansky he feels that Tom Nealon, the veteran center for the Broncos, probably intentionally goes at his knees just to get some sort of penalty, and Oshansky reacts, punches him in the head, and I don't think I've seen Marty quite so agitated on the sidelines after that.
Well, I've seen him agitated. I don't know how agitated he was yesterday, but he can get very emotional on the sidelines. But, you know, games are won and lost on a couple of plays, right? Maybe one play is the big difference in the team winning or losing. And you never know when that play is going to happen. And that made for a very exciting situation down there for fans to take a look at it, but not for coaches.
And there were a number of great games yesterday. We talked, of course, about with Ron Jaworski about the up-and-down season, mostly down season for Ben Roethlisberger, yet he, despite three interceptions in the first half, threw for 220-something yards in the fourth quarter, and maybe, just maybe, Pittsburgh's finding itself.
Well, I'll tell you, that's amazing. It's because generally when you throw three interceptions, particularly in the first half, you're generally out of it. But that's credit to Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers of staying in there against their arch rival, the Cleveland Browns. I know the rivalry between those two teams because I played on both of those teams. And to come back in the fourth quarter the way that they did is amazing. It just shows, really, that, as I said just a minute ago, that when you start believing in yourself, when you really believe that you can get it done, then good things are going to happen. But if there are doubts, of whether you can do it or not, you are in trouble. And so for Pittsburgh, huge win. What if they lose that game? They're in the basement, right, of their division. And it'd be similar to last year where they had to win them all to get a chance for the playoffs. But that was a big victory for Pittsburgh. And they're not out of it yet, not out of their division.
Well, they've got to win six or seven in a row. But the bottom line is they're finding themselves. When we come back, Sam Huff will join us to talk about the Redskins' debacle against Tampa Bay, two rookie quarterbacks, and the dilemma that all coaches face in giving their rookie quarterbacks, their quarterbacks in general, the chance to make some of their own decisions. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real baseball, baseball's golden era, the way America witnessed it in the movie newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
I know you hate missing your favorite show. Now, you don't have to. Sign up for the podcast and have Ron Barr, Nick Lowry, Dave Meltzer, and Rick Tittle delivered directly to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want. It's easy. Go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to the show you want. Visit sportsbyline.com today. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get the net in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline with Len Dawson and Sam Huff. How are you, Sam?
Well, I'm fine. You know, I picked the Patriots to win last week, and our two quarterbacks picked somebody else, so it looked like I came out ahead in that regard.
You're brilliant.
Yeah. I just go with the good quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks. You know that.
Well, guess what? One of the things we talked about last week with Marv Levy, Len, and Sam was about taking the power away from the coaches, giving a little bit more back to some of the outstanding quarterbacks out there. And Ben Roethlisberger, when they switched to the no huddle threw for 220 yards in the fourth quarter after throwing for barely 50 in the previous three quarters. Here's Marv Levy about the no huddle.
I have found, you mentioned you spoke with Jim Kelly, we ran a so-called no-huddle offense, very few plays. He had command of them. Our linemen had command of their blocking assignments. We got repetition on those plays. People might say, yeah, but you don't create enough problems for the opponents. I think you do, more than you realize.
Well, that's Marv Levy. Let's first start with you, Sam, at that game yesterday. When you've got a young quarterback, maybe you can accelerate his sense of confidence by going to a no-huddle. What happened yesterday in the game?
Well, you know, he hadn't played in a year and a half, and I think he did okay for the time he was in there. He threw for two touchdown passes, Campbell did, and he was 19 for 34, 196 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions, and so I think he did good. I mean, he had to be, you know, a little bit rusty because Joe did not put him into the game until this time, and I think, you know, it was time for quarterback changes. But they drafted him number one last year and just did not play him. And they're doing the same thing with the linebacker that they drafted from Miami this year. He hasn't been in the game except to run down on the kickoffs. I do not understand coaching anymore. I really don't. I'll be the first to admit it. And coaches are the ones that's making decisions in rule changes, and they're the ones that said that put in the rule that basically the quarterbacks can't call their own plays anymore. You know, they're just out there and just doing what the coach tells them to do every time the guy calls it. So that's the thing that I complain about. You know, I feel sorry for quarterbacks because they got to play against guys like Butkus, Nitschke, me, Bednarik, and they're going to get hit a lot.
Well, Len, let's talk about that. How important and helpful was it for you early in your career, before you became a regular starting quarterback, to get in there where your team's down in the fourth quarter, you got to throw the pass, you know, the last two, three, 4 minutes? Did that really give you the kind of experience that you could help with your confidence, your focus, your understanding of the game?
You're talking about me and my early days?
Hell, those early days.
I never got into any games, but... You have to perform at that level, at that speed, to really understand how tough the game is, and you have to get it. I often wondered about that because I sat on the bench for 5 years. You know, why is it the quarterbacks can't play a few plays? You know, for one thing, as a player, if you know that you're going into the game and you don't know when, you're going to be better prepared than if every week after week after week you're sitting on the bench and you're not getting any game time, and only if the other starting quarterback gets hurt. And I go back to what Herm Edwards did when Pittsburgh was blowing out Kansas City. They have a young quarterback, Brody Croyle, out of Alabama. They said they wanted to get him some experience, to have him know what the speed of the game is in professional football compared to college football. And he made the ultimate mistake, which didn't matter because they were going to lose the game anyway. He tried to force a ball out in the flat when the linebacker had the angle and intercepted the thing, ran in for a touchdown. But at least he discovered in that short time he was out there, you know, how much he needs to learn to be able to compete at the professional level compared to the collegiate level. But Herm Edwards is doing a heck of a job of playing young people, with the exception of the quarterback, because yesterday the game was decided. The play was an interception in the end zone on first down, when quarterback Brooks was trying to get it to Randy Moss, and Jared Page, a rookie strong safety, read the quarterback because he telegraphed where he was going, jumped in front of him, and intercepted the ball, and that ended the ball game and gave Kansas City a victory. Oakland very easily could have beaten the Chiefs yesterday because, number one, it's first and goal from the 8, and if a guy isn't open, throw it away. You got 3 other downs to try to do it, but that was a big mistake by the quarterback. But, you know, you only learn by getting out there and playing.
And you can also learn a little faster if you're not trying to memorize a 700-page playbook. Here's Marv Levy talking about a certain Sam Huff's comment about that.
Sam Huff said that, Nick? Is that what said?
Yes.
I know Sam well from my days at the Washington Redskins, and he once again said something which I think is very astute. I agree. Simplify, and you will do better. I think coaches are carried away with look at how big my playbook is. Teach what players can learn, very important.
Well, there you go. So, Sam, you're looking good today, my friend.
Yeah, that's good. Again, he said. He didn't say for the first time that Sam was right. He said again.
He's right again, and he apparently remembers it. But the other thing that helped Tampa Bay yesterday was they were able to run the ball. Cadillac Williams, who was very slow getting going early this season, looked like he was the Cadillac Williams that was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year last year.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, don't get too complimentary there. They do look at films, and all you had to do was look at films of the Redskin defense. They have not stopped a run coming back to the weak side this whole year. So the Giants ran Tiki Barber, and that's what I call the play now. Tiki Barber left, because that's all you have to do. And Tiki Barber in the last 2 years has just run the Redskin defense basically out of the ballpark, just running back to his left. And so other teams exchange these films now, and everybody looks at it and said, well, hey, until they stop it, we're going to continue to run it. And that's basically what Tampa did last night against the Redskins, is run the football. And Cadillac Williams picked up 122 yards on 27 carries. He averaged 4.5 yards a carry, and he was running basically to his left. And so then Allstatt came in, a big fullback, you know, 250-pound fullback, and he averaged 4.7 yards a carry. And Michael Pittman averaged 8.5 yards a carry. So the Redskins did not stop the run on defense, and that's really what, you know, that's what cost them the football game.
But, Sam Huff, it doesn't make sense. If you were a so-called prognosticator in the offseason, one of the least likely bets was that Greg Williams, one of the better defensive coordinators in the league, would preside over a defense that has gone downhill so quickly. What were they, second-ranked in the NFL last year?
Yes, they were number two, and they're just about number 31 or 32 in out of 32 teams this year in defense. The defense has just come apart, and Greg Williams, he uses pressure, blitzing, linebackers, safeties, halfbacks, whatever. It's all pressure. And when you do that, you have to cover man-to-man. And the corners and the secondary has just not been the same as it was last year. Carlos Rogers plays against Philadelphia. He was playing 12, 15 yards deep and giving up the short pass inside. And then you got to tackle these fast guys once they catch that ball. So the secondary is the most difficult, I think, next to playing quarterback to teach in the NFL. And you get beat, and these guys are afraid of getting beat deep, so they give up that short pattern all the time. And that's what keeps ball control for the other team.
Len Dawson, you're the quarterback. You're able to call your own plays. You know that the defense you're playing against cannot seem to stop you if you run to your left. How much freedom did you have to be able to call run after run after run right against the heart, or should I say, the weakness of that defense?
Total authority to do that. You know, in fact, if I didn't do it, my coach would be getting on my butt. You know, if something is working, make them stop it. You know, don't stop it yourself. And I see this all of the time in the National Football League. And you'll see a play that works maybe in the first quarter and from a certain formation, and you may not see it until the fourth quarter. And I'm wondering, why? My goodness, they couldn't stop that thing. Why did they continue to run it? But I think Marv was right about the playbook, that, you know, they take pride in the fact that, you know, we got this playbook is so difficult, you know, because to learn. Well, simplify it. Make it easy for the players to grasp it, because it doesn't make any difference. You have a lot of plays in there. If none of them work, find a couple that work and just stick with those things, depending on the ability of the players that you have. Now, are you telling me that the Washington Redskins quarterback had some authority to call his own plays in this game yesterday?
Absolutely not.
I don't think he did at all. I think, you know, he stuck, like I say, he hadn't played, Campbell hadn't played since he'd been drafted in a regular season game, and he just was out there, and he did everything that they told him to do. At the beginning, Lenny, he threw a deep pass to wide receiver Lloyd, about a 40-yard pass, and it was right on the money, and Lloyd went up, and the ball hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it. You know, the first play of the game that Campbell threw the ball and threw it deep. He never came back with it because, you know, hey, how many times can you go deep in this league? You know, everybody plays zone and everybody blitzes, and then they play man-to-man, so they mix up the defenses a lot on you now.
Well, that's why you got to guess right sometimes, and sometimes you do. And if you get the situation you're looking for, you have to take advantage of it. I guess he hit him in the wrong spot then, Sam, huh? Right in the hands.
Yeah, and he dropped it on the first play of the game. And that, I think, that was one of the key plays in the game. So, but you had two bad teams playing. Let's face it, Tampa Bay had only won two games, and the Redskins had only won three games. And so, it's not the two best teams in pro football this year for some reason. You know, it looked like in March that the Redskins might have a direct shot at the playoffs and maybe going to the Super Bowl. But not now. They just haven't played up to the way they did last year, and it looked like they were going to improve, but they haven't improved. They've just come apart on defense.
You know, chemistry
guys,
is so important.
Go ahead,
Larry. Chemistry is so important. Sam, you played on those Giant teams and Redskin teams that had a great deal of chemistry. Is that the same case with Washington? Do they have it? I guess they don't.
No, that's the one thing they don't have, and they've had so many coaches, and last year they had the chemistry, but Lenny, in March they brought in these free agents, four of them, and I think the owner spent about like $125 million on four free agents, and they just haven't. You know, Randall L has run back one punt, and then he got penalized in the end zone for hot dogging it, and so that's what he has done. They haven't used him too much, but he's a heck of a football player. And then they brought in Archuleta, and they benched him two games ago because he wasn't covering people. And then a defensive end from San Francisco, and he hasn't lived up to his expectations. So they just haven't fit in. I don't know whether they will in the future or not, because Archuleta's already benched. And it just hasn't worked for him for one reason or another.
Guys, let's go on our last segment coming up and look at the impact of this Indianapolis loss. Some, to me, believe that maybe Indianapolis losing at this point is not such a bad thing, because it's more about, as Tony Dungy said a couple months ago on this show, it's more about them playing as a team in the last few weeks of the season going into the playoffs. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back with Len Dawson and Sam Huff in just a minute.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states. So call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Welcome back to Ed Gaines for our final segment. Here's Ron Jaworski on Peyton Manning and why, up till yesterday, he was playing so much better.
Well, I think there's been a couple things this season that he hasn't done in the past. Number one, the mobility issue. You're starting to see Peyton Manning make plays outside the pocket. Movement within the pocket has always been his strength. Now you're seeing him forced with pressure up the middle to move outside the pocket and make plays. I think the other thing, he's becoming much more patient. Maybe it's with age. Who really knows? But now he's taking what the defense gives him. And the Buffalo game was a real-life example of that. He wasn't forcing the football into coverage. Clearly, Buffalo was determined to take away Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, holding them to 6 catches in the game. Peyton did not try to force the football in there. When he had the opportunity to get the ball to them, he did, but he was patient. Of optimum importance to Peyton Manning is to win, period. He's not a stats guy.
He's not a stats guy. Well, unfortunately, the stat was that the W went to Dallas. And even as Tony Romo was just beginning his career as a starting quarterback for Dallas a few weeks ago, I think it was 19 for 23 yesterday. He was the one that looked more like the efficient marksman down the field. What do you think about that performance yesterday, Len Dawson?
Well, I think it's an amazing performance. I know when Parcells decided to install him as a starting quarterback, there's a lot of talk about, well, what are they doing that for? You know, he got Bledsoe there, just protect him more because he can pass. But this guy adds a dimension that Bledsoe does not have, and that's the ability to move, to scramble, and to avoid getting sacked. Bledsoe got sacked so many times. A quarterback that can move like he can avoid some of those losses. What you always want to stay away from is negative yardage, whether it's a running game or the passing game, and he's able to do that. And for Peyton Manning, he's still having a hell of a year, I'll tell you that.
And the other thing for Dallas was, Sam Huff, they stuck with the running game, which was not successful early, but in the end, both Jones and Barber combined for about 114 yards.
Well, when you talk about running, Lombardi used to say, if you run the football, you control the clock, and when you control the clock, you control the game. And when you talk about running the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Washington Redskins, Cadillac Williams ran the ball 27 times, 122 yards, as I said earlier. But the team ran the ball 42 times and gained 181 yards on the ground against the Washington Redskins defense. That's just unheard of, and that's one thing they have to stop. They have to stop the run. Gradowski, young quarterback, also was 14 for 21, passing the ball 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And they ask about Campbell. He was 19 for 34, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Grabowski had one interception, and Campbell had none, so he had 2 touchdowns to his credit.
Well, listen, guys, we're going to have to go, but Len Dawson,
what?
Sam Huff, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network, Sirius Channel 122. Dick Vermeil on Wednesday's show. We'll see you then.